The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Go get my mountain over here. I mean, you have to use your imagination a little bit on this mountain, but the kids could see it, I know.
Yeah, imagine this is a mountain. Earlier, everyone, we didn't tell anybody we were talking about mountains, but it's kind of been the theme today. But earlier, the theme was just like sometimes a mountain is a symbol of something when it's used in the Bible, and sometimes it's a symbol of being called up higher. You know, so like come up to the mountain, or, you know, we're climbing this mountain with our hands open, we sing, and that's, you know, it's used like that as a high place in God. And then sometimes the mountain is used as a very big, unmovable problem in your life. And so right now, this is a bad mountain, kids. It symbolizes something that's hard in your life and bad. That's what we're gonna be talking about today, but it's gonna be encouraging too. So okay. All right, I had in praying for speaking today, I just got the Holy Spirit just came on me, and I got a few words for some people here, and so I'm just gonna read them, and if this is for you, I'm gonna set these down and then you can come pick it up later, okay? I know it's for some people here, but okay. This one I thought was really fun. Someone's believing for a new house with not a cent saved for it, and saved to make it happen. And God says, I am the God of miracles, and you're going to see it unfold before your eyes. And with that, I saw God's hands come down with a key in it. So will you put that somewhere? Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome. No.
Okay. All right, then the next one is, this is for, to me, it seemed like it was a young mom. And it says, do not be weary in doing good. I have not forgotten you. Yes, I do have many callings for you. This is but a very important season in your life. And don't belittle what you are doing every day. Pouring God into my seeds of the future, my precious little ones. And with that, I saw like a mom reading. But in her heart, you know, she was thinking about wanting to be other places, doing, you know, being busy and doing other things with God. And God was just encouraging that mom, like, you know, that's coming, but right now is really an important time too. So that was for that. And then this was felt like in my spirit. It was a married man, and he's discouraged in his job. And God was saying, God says, look up to me. Change is in the future. I hear your prayers. I'm moving you on to a new place. I know your talents, and I will use them in the new job. So I don't know if that's who that's for, but that would be fun. Okay. And then this is for a woman, and I felt like she was kind of in her 50s and 60s ages, and she's troubled about her children, and God says he has them in the palm of his hand, and he's placed angels to watch over them because he's heard your prayers, and is even now moving them back to him. Oh, wooing them back to him. And you have even lamented over them. And he wants you to know he has not been silent, and he has heard your prayers, and that even though his work has been unseen as of yet, he has been responding to your prayers. So I hope that touches somebody who's out there.
We have prayer on Thursdays in the morning here for the church, and we pray for the people in the church. And I seen a couple weeks ago, too, that there was this seed that was laying dormant. It looked dead. It could be looked for 100 years. I have no idea how long this seed was, and it was dead by the looks of it. But the wind blew it. And the wind blew it and took it, the wind of the Spirit or whatever, and it blew the seed. And then the waters and the flood came, and it washed the seed. And it went over into some land that was a good land. It went over to it, and the sun shined on it, and the rain came. And this thing was even surprising to the people that saw it come to pass, because some of them maybe even forgot that the seed was there. But I felt like it was for our church, and some of the things that people haven't seen yet, it doesn't mean that it's not coming. I just like to say that.
So that's good. Where if you feel like you've kind of been dormant, or like a seed, like, oh, I just haven't gone anywhere, I feel kind of stagnant, just be excited. And I just feel like when Jim was sharing that again, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like that happened to me. And it was just like beginning of December or something, all of a sudden there was this, first I thought it was because my kids were growing up and it dawned on me like, woohoo, I'm free. But the Lord's been just speaking to me like, it's not quite like that, you know. It's more like He's just putting something inside of me. Today I felt like, I feel like Jack and the Bean, like I swallowed that bean. And I feel like that. I just feel like there's something that's like growing inside of me that's just like ready to explode. And you know what? That can happen to you. And you know, sometimes we just get used to the, but He wants to put something in you that's going to explode. So I'm excited. I'm just excited for everybody. So today...
I think I'll open in prayer first.
Oh, yeah,
on there.
Your mic. Okay.
Yeah, I have my mic. I felt like when I was sitting there, the Lord said, I'm going to stir you up, Jim. And I think to myself, uh-oh. That's it. But you know what? It's a good thing. You know? I think it'll be a good thing. So, Father, I just ask, Lord, that mountains be removed today, Lord. Mountains in people's lives that have been there for a long time. They've been there a long time, and they look like huge mountains to them, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus that these mountains are going to disappear. They're going to go, and we give you all the glory and all the praise for it now in Jesus' name.
Amen. You silence. All right,
yes.
You can put up on the screen Mark 11:23. This is the main verse we're working from. And it starts off.
For verily I say unto you,
that whoever shall
say unto this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and doubt not in his heart, but he believes that those things which he says shall come to pass, they will come to pass. And so, first of all, he starts off with truly, truly, or it says in different, it says verily, verily. It says, he's not just stuttering here.
Yeah.
You know, right here. He's saying, of a truth, I'm going to tell you something. I want you to hear what I'm saying here on this. When I was 24 years old, I went over to Israel and I worked on a kibbutz. And I was riding the bus. Sometimes they'd let us go to Jerusalem. And I was riding the bus, and I sat next to this guy with this hat and the fur and stuff like that. Realizing later, because we started talking to one another, I told him I worked on the kibbutz near Tel Aviv. And he told me that he was a rabbi. And finally, from talking to him after a while, I finally got up enough courage. I said, what did they say about Jesus? Because I was just wondering, what do the rabbis say and the people say about Jesus? And they say that, oh, he was a lying prophet, they said. He was a lying. I held my peace in there because I'm just on the bus. But we know that he wasn't a lying prophet. And we know that he was telling the truth all the time. So he is saying, truly, truly, I say unto you.
Yeah, prefacing it, like, come on, this is a truth. And so why we want to teach a truth to you that maybe, when we start getting into this, we're like, oh my gosh, this is something that we haven't even hardly walked into. It's like this new truth to us. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, everything that we did in the past, when we looked at it, like, well, we prayed for this. And we found very few things in our life where we just spoke to that thing. And we spoke in Christ to that thing, you know, and went, but there were things there. And you know, we see it a lot of times. People speak to cancer and they tell it to go. People speak to different things and they tell it to go that way.
So we're just going to start with, it says whosoever. And we are all whosoevers. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, there's a bunch of whosoevers, I think, that
everyone,
little whosoevers
little kid
and big
is
ones.
A whosoever. I mean, you can walk around and say, I am a whosoever. Don't deal with me. I'm a whosoever.
I'm a whosoever.
Come on, say it with me. I'm a whosoever.
Right.
You know what? Let's say it with passion. I'm a whosoever. And it's true. You know, we all are whosoevers, which means you don't have to be too much of anything. You can just be a whosoever, right? So a whosoever and whosoevers can speak to whatsoever.
Their mountains, yeah.
Which is
they can be whatsoever. You can tell you are whosoever. You can tell your whatsoever where to go. I mean, really, you can do that if whatever they are.
Sometimes we get in trouble because we're so busy looking at our spouses Whosoever spouses, their whatsoever. And sometimes we get caught in that, and we got to look at our own whatsoevers and tell them where to go. Do you know what I'm saying when I'm talking about whosoevers and whatsoevers? And okay.
But they could be mountains of different things.
Someone else's mountain. Sometimes as a mom, I have been guilty of trying to get my children's whosoevers to go. And bothering my children as my whosoevers when they need to take care of their own whatsoevers. They need to rise up and be the whosoever to take care of their whatsoever. And I just need to be the encourager of the whosoever. So. I like to fix things, and I have to work on that. All right, so that's the way. Okay, we'll move on. Okay, so I got to think. Okay, so when you're a whosoever, the one thing you have to do to be a whosoever is you have to speak it out. And so all of you guys, can you speak it out? If you've ever been mad to your kids, you've spoke it out. But we want you to speak it out in a different way, in the spirit that's inside of you, speak it out. I don't know how do you explain that, but it's like something inside of you that rises up and speaks it out. And so, like a good example would be the story of Jesus, and he's in the boat. And I want you to picture this, because I just pictured it a little more this time, because I read it was a, let's see if I can say it, squall. Is that right? Squall for a storm? Okay, so when I see squalls, that's like it's pelting rain, and the wind is blowing, and these poor guys, they're getting soaked, and they're scared. And I thought to think, a lot of times with storms, you know, there's lightning, you know, and that's not a good place to be out on the water. You know, have you ever been in a boat and the storm's coming? I start paddling. you know the feeling. Okay, these guys were feeling that. They were like, and finally they wake Jesus, who's sleeping in the boat. He must have been tired, because if that was me, I would have been awake. But he was sleeping in the boat. And Jesus gets up and he says, I didn't write it down what he says, but he just calms the storm and the wave. Just, you know, just peacefully, you know, wind stop. Storm cease. And, you know, and then, you know, all the disciples are, whew. You know, and aren't we like that when we have our storms in life? I am just like that. I'm like, Jesus, help me. God, oh, Jesus, help me. And really, then he looks at them. He goes, why were you so afraid? And then he said, do you still not have any faith? And that is what really got me. Jesus is trying to get us to rise up and walk in it. You know, walk in speaking to the storm. He was like, why'd you wake me up? Why didn't you just stand up and say, storm, be still? Or, you know what I mean? He's trying to get us that way. And it kind of dawned on us, because Jim and I were thinking, yeah, we're so much all the time going, and not that this is bad, because it says cast your cares on him, but a lot of times we're really have been busy praying. Jesus, help me. Or Jesus, will you take care of this need? And, you know, oh, God. And that's kind of our communication with him a lot. And he's starting to say, no, I'm God. I'm Holy Spirit in you. And I want you to walk in that Holy Spirit and let it out.
You know, I know just seeing the grandchildren too, now that we have some grandchildren and the children, it seems like they want to do everything that daddy wants to do or grandpa wants to do. They just look up at you and just watch everything that you do. I know our grandson, he loves the little tools, but he wants not the plastic kind, you know. He wants the real stuff. He's putting screwdrivers in here. He's looking for every little thing, you know, because his dad loves that too. And he just goes after that. But we're children of God. And we look at what our daddy does. And you know what our daddy does? He speaks to things. He said, let there be light. He says, let there be this and let there be that. And he just speaks it out all the time. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what, as children, that's what he wants us to do too, to start speaking to things. Yeah.
Another story of that is when Jesus has he's up on the mountain, and there's all these people there to feed. 5,000, that's a lot to feed. Especially if your mom, you ever have company, you think about, how am I going to feed all these people at a holiday or something? Well, the disciples are looking, they go, God, these guys have been here all day long. So they go to Jesus, and, you know, they're saying, Jesus, you know, I think we better send these guys home. You know, we're really a distance away, and, you know, we got to do something. And, you know, Jesus' response was to them, you give them something to eat. Why'd you like that? You know, and they're of course they're not walking in their spirit realm. They're walking in their flesh, and they're like, give them something to eat. There's 5,000 people here, and look at, you know, we've got 2 fish and 2 loaves. You know, it's just like, come on. But what was Jesus trying to get his disciples to do? He kept trying to get his disciples to take that next step, and that's the step he wants you guys to step into, instead of always going, Daddy, help me with this and that. He wants the Holy Spirit to rise up in you and speak to that mountain or speak to that problem and do something supernatural. Isn't that awesome? Do you guys want to be there? I am like so want to go to this next step. Where it just rises up into me and I speak to that mountain or I speak to that sickness or that illness.
And in like Numbers 28, it says Moses, the second time, God said, you know, I want you to speak to the rock and I want you to handle it this way. Speak to the rock. But he struck the rock. And it said, the people were, you're a rebellious bunch of people. You got caught up in just being angry at him. And he struck the rock. But sometimes we need, you know, to just speak to the rock in the spirit. We need to speak to the rock for the water to come out. Not just get angry and try to do it in our own the way we want to do things. You know, I noticed, I got a word back in the presbytery. It says, you're going to run through walls in the spirit and you're going to enjoy it. Instead of going at things in the, well, I don't know how to fix that. I'll go and talk to the manager. Or I'll go and do this, and I'll go in my own self, and I'll fix this thing, whatever I'm going to go through. And he says, no, I want you to speak ahead of time. I want you to go speak to ahead of time. You know what? When I go in there, it's going to be peaceful. When I go in there, it's going to be good. I'm blessed in that, and I'm laying groundwork in the spirit. I'm just walking into this thing in the spirit, and I'm not trying to reach after it in the flesh. Because sometimes when I strike the rock, maybe water will come out of it like it did with Moses, but it might not be the right stuff. Yeah. It might be a mess after I get in there, and I might be in my anger, I might sin, or I might do things in my own self that's wrong. But sometimes you just need to speak to those things in the spirit and then do it. I remember listening to a thing on Joel Osteen. He said, you know what I do? He says, I stand in the mirror in the morning and I say, people are going to turn me on and they're not going to be able to turn me off. You know, and he just speaks life into the situations where he's going to go. And he says, people have come up to me and said, you know, I'm not a believer or anything, but I turn you on and I can't turn the channel again. Or I just can't turn it off. But we should go after things in the spirit more than after into the flesh and walk into those things that way.
So I want all of you whosoevers to take that piece of paper that was passed out to you. And you're a whosoever, but even whosoevers, and almost all whosoevers, have mountains in their lives. And I want you to pray, because God might surprise you with a new mountain. When I got into praying this, I was like, oh God, what's my mountain? And you know what he said? He said, it's fear. And fear, and it's so true. Fear is a huge mountain in my life. And so I want you right now to ask, okay, Holy Spirit, what's my mountain? And I want you to write it on that sheet of paper. This is a step of faith. You're a whosoever, and you can say to that piece of paper and that problem, that mountain, write it down. Ask God, what is it? Now, there's all sorts of mountains. For some, it's like sickness can be a mountain. Your children can be a mountain. It's anything, it's things that you worry about can be your mountain, your job, people that you work with can be a mountain that, you know, it's a problem, you know, if some of you have big mountains, you'll get it right away. Some of you are like, okay, God, what? Okay.
Zechariah 4:6, it says, who are you mountain, great mountain against Zerubbabel? You're going to be made like a plane. But the verse right before it says, not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord.
So that was an example in the Old Testament of a mountain
that wasn't a physical mountain, because Zerubbabel had to build in against some enemies around. They had to be armed while they're building the temple.
And he was just saying, not by might, I'm not going to build this temple. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. And any problems and troubles, you're going to be leveled like a plane. He spoke into that mountain.
Yeah, it says, And he'll put up the headstone and say, grace, 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 or favor, 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 it's going to come.
In the mountain. Okay. I want to speak it out.
Sometimes we make our own mountains, you know. It just seems like sometimes we it says, if we assume something about ourselves or assume something about other people or how we'll reach the, when we get to this place, we think in our mind, oh, it's going to be really tough. It says, an assumption, though, it's false. But if you persist in it, it'll harden into fact. It's like you're making a mountain sometimes into things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're making this mountain, but we need to look at it in a different way and assume that we are children of God and persist in the assumption that this is not going to be the mountain in my way.
Sometimes we do a lot of talking about our mountain. Maybe you don't even realize how much you're actually talking about your mountain.
Yeah, you said don't be talking to your mountain and talking about it. It seems to make it just huge, doesn't it? When you start talking about the sicknesses and how I'm going to feel this way. And you just build up. I know we go out to camp every year out by Montana. And from about 40 miles away, you can start seeing the mountains. Oh, there's the mountains. But when you start getting up close, they just get just huge and giant from there.
So if you start focusing on that problem, it just grows, you know. And then if you start trying to figure it out on your own, it's almost, how do you move a mountain? Your problem, I don't want to be mean, but your problem is probably so big, you can't figure it out in the natural. A lot of times you got that problem, you can't make somebody do something. You can't make that illness go. Your problem is so big in the natural. And God wants you to don't look at it that way. Look at it with, move mountain, the Holy Spirit. No, don't talk about it, talk to it. And so in the Bible, there, and I wonder if anybody knows this question. Kids, tell me if you think you know this one. There was some people that took 40 days to stand, a whole army that stood around and talked about their problem. Who thinks they know what it is? You know, tell me. I got suckers up here. Pass an old
sucker. Who do you think it was?
Who? Get a sucker for this. 40 days they stood and talked around about this problem.
How big their problem was.
It was a big problem. You want to take a guess? Big. Think of something. Okay, next clue. Think of someone that was very big in the Bible.
What?
You were right. Preston, come get a sucker.
And do you think Goliath was this big compared to Preston here? That's intimidating, isn't it?
Preston was a boy. He was a boy going against a giant. So did you see that illustration, how big that was? That he was, everyone was looking at him. His brothers were like, go home. They called him a boy. They didn't even call him a man at that point. And there he is. And instead of looking at the giant, he looked at it a different way. And that's the way God wants us to look at it. And he's up there and he's in his face. You come to me with sword and shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Isn't that right? Did I say mm-hmm. that right?
You said that right.
Thank you. We used to play that game at home. A little Ben Jim was the giant. He would die. And our little son would be, I come to you in the name of the Lord. But don't you feel sometimes... we feel like that in the natural, like just a little boy. And he wants us to feel empowered inside. He wants that to rise up in us.
And our words are so powerful. We take it for granted. You know, it says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. There's a lot more power to it than you can imagine. People break glasses when they sing these high notes. They just shatter. You know, there's just so much power in it. And what kind of life are you bringing out? Or what kind of death are you bringing out? Because lots of times when you speak, it's in your heart. So that mountain's going to be there too. And them mountains are going to be there for you. You know, so life and death, we got to speak life, don't we? Mm-hmm. We got to speak life into every situation. We got to speak life into death situations. We got to speak life into hopeless situations. Yes. We just have to speak it out.
Yeah. And we have to, part of it is just having that belief. We've got to have that faith. And a lot of times, I'll be honest, I've had doubt. And doubt is the biggest thing that shuts your faith down. I mean, I want to, don't you all, who wants faith? Don't we all want faith? But I'll tell you what, we've had some things that have shut it down in our lives. And so I'm going to tell you a few steps of things that shut down faith. And one is, don't worry about it, how it's going to be done.
Yeah, all you do is have to speak to the mountain. That's all you're told to do. You don't have to worry how that mountain's going to go. In
Job 5:9.
I know it says Job 5:9, but I don't have this one down there. But it says in Job 28:9, he putteth forth his hands upon the rock. He overturns the mountains by the roots, it says. You know, you don't know how that mountain's going to move. If you try to do that, you might lose some faith. How that mountain's going to move in front of you. But I'll tell you, that mountain's going to move. And all you're told to do is to speak to it and believe. You know, in the old cars, you had to have two keys, one to get in the door, and then you had to, but if you only had one of them keys just to get in the door, you couldn't get the car started. And you could speak to it, and then you need to believe that what you're saying will come to pass on that.
And cast out doubt. It does not. We got to go back to reviewing. I got to say that verse. Can we get that first verse put up, Mark 11:23? For verily I say unto you that whosoever
shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and doubt not in his heart.
In your heart.
But have those things which he saith shall come to pass.
But believe that those things which he says shall come to pass.
He shall have those.
Whatsoever.
He shall have whatsoever he says.
So he's even talking there about doubt. How many of us have doubt? So one of them is, don't worry about how you're going to do it. When you start worrying about it, it looks insurmountable, right?
Mm-hmm.
That shuts you down. So I'm just going to believe it. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how we're going to raise $6,000 to get to Ukraine, but it's going to happen. That's faith.
And right? In Job 5:9, it says, he performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. It's like, you don't even know how he's going to do this. He's going to do something. It might be the different way that you thought it when you were thinking, but you just speak to that mountain. You tell it. And you know what? Sometimes you might just, well, I've done that before. And I speak to that. Well, you know what? Sometimes I've been an observant parent. I heard Hillary talking to the kids. Oh, clean your room, honey. Clean your room this way. You know what? And I come back, there's nothing happened. There was no movement or anything like that. All of a sudden, I hear a louder voice, or I hear it louder. Clean your room! That's it. I hear some power behind it, you know? I hear some things in there. So you have to keep talking to your mountains. Make sure that they hear it with you. Who are you, mountain? You move. You know what? That God gives me the authority to speak. He said it. He promised it. That's the truth. You move. I'm standing here and you move.
That's right. So number one, don't worry about how it's going to be done. Number two, don't accept your mountain. When the Lord showed me that spirit of fear, you know what I saw the picture of? I saw a picture of a little orange pup tent sitting next to a mountain. And that is exactly what I've done with my spirit of fear. I've been just camping out, you know, and it's not... I've accepted fear. I've been a fearful person since a little girl. And so when things come up, I'll look to Jim.
Like driving in the car or something.
Will you please drive me there? Because I fear comes on me, you know, and I have to push myself sometimes. But what I really have to do is start speaking to that. I've got to step out of that and not accept it. Sometimes things, we're that way since a child, so we start thinking, that's just the way I am. Yeah. No, it's not. I'm not fearful. I'm a child of God. I've got the anointing and the Holy Spirit in me that can come out, that can speak to mountains, that can heal the sick, that can raise people from the dead. Come on. I don't need to be afraid. Uh-huh. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to put up with your mountain that you've got. Find that mountain and get rid of it. Speak to it and tell it to go. When I go someplace, I have to say, okay, I'm safe. I've got the Holy Spirit on me. He rides with me. I have angels of protection. I have no reason for fear. Fear be gone and move into that. And that's part of it. It's kind of like a step. You got to kind of step into this place of authority. He wants us to step into our place.
Yeah, David ran at that thing.
All right. Don't think, okay, so that's the second one. Don't accept it. Step three, don't listen to doubt talkers. Y'all have some of them in your life that when you tell them your plan that God's put on your heart, they might just come alongside and say, how are you going to pay for that? Really, you're believing.
Can be yourself too.
Yeah.
That's doing it.
You're just yourself. Sometimes you can silence your doubt talker in yourself. But you got somebody that is that. Don't go to them for counsel. Go to somebody who's going to go, yeah, I'm going to believe with that for you. Yeah, I want to see that happen. Not someone that's like, need to count the cost. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We'll watch the news sometimes. Me and Hillary, and a lot of times. And you know what? I hate to, just because of the commercials on there. We get bombarded with these fear thoughts about these drug companies have them all on there. And you get fearful of every kind of disease. Well, maybe I got that symptom, and maybe I got the... You get bombarded with it. We need to be indifferent to negative suggestions. You know, we don't have to accept everything that everybody says. You know, we need to be indifferent to them things. Just let them go on by. That's not for me, you know. Or maybe you got a mute button on your television sets. And you can just watch their lips or just go in the other room, whatever. I just can't stand that. Sorry.
All right. Now, our fourth thing is don't think you don't have enough faith. Haven't you gone? I have done that. I've prayed and maybe, and then didn't happen. And right away I think, I must not have had enough faith. You know, and that shuts me down. You know, maybe it was me. Maybe I just didn't have enough faith. And you know what? But you know what Jesus said? And this is a new way I saw this. In fact, I need a bunch of kids to come up here and pass it and take these to their parents. Okay? So if you're a kid,
I'm sure they'll help you out.
There's a sucker in it, so I'm sure you want to come on up and help me. I need you to take this to your parents and show them the size of that seed. And I want you to take it to a few other people. Be very bold. Go show it to a few.
You don't have to give them your sucker, but show them how small that seed is.
Sucker. But I want that sucker. I want people to see that sucker. No, not the sucker.
The seed.
The dumb sucker. No, no.
That's the dumb, dumb part.
The size of that seed. Oh, I got a few more. So raise your hand if you haven't got a good look at mustard seed. When's the last time you looked at a mustard seed? All right, we did it. Big kid. Yes. Do you need suckers? Okay. You need help. You need help for the kids. There you go. Any other moms that need help? Suckers are available. Okay. We're out, but here's some suckers. Pass them out to the different kids that don't have any. Okay? Thank you. Oh, of course. You take some of your brothers, sisters. All right. Okay, did you see the size of that seed? I look at that seed and I go, I have that amount of faith. Come on. Oh, I don't have one to show you, but look at that seed. Everyone, look at it. It's the tiniest little seed. Do you think you have that amount of faith?
Hillary said to me, I thought, that must mean that we don't have any faith, but she was looking at it a different way and said, that thing's little.
He wasn't.
You know, that thing's little.
He wasn't saying, if you only had the faith of a mustard seed, you could have done it. No, he's saying, all you need is faith that size. Can you have that faith? I looked at that seed and like, yeah.
And we know that each person has been given a measure of faith.
I've been saved. I believe in Jesus. That's a lot of faith. I've got a lot of faith. I got more faith than that mustard seed. Who's got more faith than that mustard seed? Come on. So the next time the enemy lies to you and says, you know, it didn't happen because you just didn't have enough faith. Don't believe that. Stop listening to that lie. That's just doubt that shuts you down.
There was the scripture, I think it was...
Oh, did I miss something?
When Jesus was at Lazarus' tomb, he was talking to him. He said, did not I say unto you that when you believe, then you shall see the glory of God? Didn't I tell you again? Usually when I say, didn't I tell you to my kids or whatever, they know that I probably told them 100 times that.
Have you heard that? You know,
didn't I say unto you that when you believe, then you shall see the glory of God? The world thinks, when I see it, I'll believe it. But the way our kingdom works, when you believe it, then you'll see the glory of God. When you believe the thing, then you're going to see the manifestation of the thing happen.
That's Jesus again saying, come on, guys. Take that next step. Come on, disciples. Take that step. Didn't I tell you already? Come on. Take it. Move in it. Did I read that verse? Did I read the verse about the mustard seed, or I just pass it out? Okay, so I want to read that because it's so good. Okay, so truly I say to you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So if you raised your hand just now today and said that you have more faith than that mustard seed, then take the rest of the promise that whatever, that nothing will be impossible to you. Can you, you know, I just want you to grasp it and believe this. Nothing is impossible to you. So long you've been walking under all this doubt and all these things. Like the next step is don't look at the past. The past has shut me down. I have prayed for some people and they didn't get healed. And then that just shut me down.
And Paul says,
must not be for me. I must not have enough faith or something, and right?
Paul says, you know, he's like one of the big leaders of the whole church. He said, you know, this one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching on to those things which are before. He says, you know, this is one thing I do. Guess what? That's in the past. That's when I'm going to forget. When it didn't work, I don't want to hear them doubt words. They were in the past now. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new now in front of me. I'm a new creature in Christ. You might have to say that a few times. I'm a new creature in Christ. When I lay hands on the sick, you know what happens? They get healed.
Amen.
You know, I don't care what happened in the past. This is what happens now because I believe that this is the way it is.
And that's what you need to start doing, is start speaking that positive in your mind when you're walking. You know, we've all had that where you walk up to pray someone and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I hope they get healed. No. You say, I will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. Start proclaiming these things in your spirit. Build up the Holy Spirit within you, and then that unction comes, it rises up and comes out of you in a powerful way. One of the things, you know, like when Jim and I did this, we said, you know, we're not walking in this enough. But there was a time we heard about a man who he didn't have an inheritance, and he was upset about it, and the Holy Spirit just came on him, and he started speaking into this inheritance, and he
said yelling in his car.
Yeah, and when he told me this, I was kind of like, really? You know, that he was yelling in his car, God, give me my inheritance. I'm calling forth this inheritance that was promised to me, and it was stolen from me, and I'm calling it forth. And I thought, wow, you know.
He told us that he did get inheritance. Surprisingly,
oh, yeah.
Then it came.
Yeah, it was answered. So me and Jim were walking around, and we were talking about that story, and kind of started, you know what? We didn't get our inheritance. You know, and then we're kind of like sheepishly looking at each other. Well, should we try it? And so we're like, well, God, we'd like an inheritance.
And we knew that, you know, in the outside, there's no inheritance. You could look as deep as you wanted.
Yeah.
There was nothing there.
And we're building it up inside. We're building our faith. God, give us our inheritance. God, give us our inheritance. So can you imagine us walking around the block? Give us our inheritance, God!
Wasn't quite that.
But we were yelling, give it, you know, we were calling it in because it's something that's in here. It's the Holy Spirit's, the unction in it that comes out. It came out. And then my dad had cancer. But before that, his life insurance had come up and changed. And they said, well, keep your life insurance going if you pay $1,000 a month. And he had looked and said, oh, I just can't do that. So he canceled it. And then that was kind of floating. And then his cancer just took a turn and really got bad. And my brother and sister were, my brother was in his room and he wasn't going through papers or anything, but he just looked down and there was this sheet of paper that said, you have 1 month left to reinstate your life insurance. And he was like, huh. And so he got together with my sister and they paid that 1 month's premium. And my dad died the day after. And we did not sit there and say, hang on, Dad. But I have to say, it did run through my mind. He died the day after that insurance came into play. And we just, it was a miracle. We just spoke that into being. That wasn't even something we even really knew about, hardly. So that was our story about speaking it out.
And sometimes you need to change the doubt thoughts, you know, when you're going to pray for somebody or whatever, the doubt thoughts that come in there. You need to speak the opposite of it. It says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Speak, if it's saying doubt, well, that's not going to happen. You say, that is going to happen. This is what I speak. If Jesus said that's going to happen, then that's what I'm going to believe. That's the report I'm going to believe. And I'm going to put off the other doubt little things. They can go somewhere else. You know, but I'm going to speak the opposite of what it is. Confess the opposite. If you get them doubt thoughts always coming in, it says perfect love casts out all fear. So you just cast out every doubt thought that comes against that, against that mountain. When you say, well, I'm going to speak this mountain, you hear that little voice inside you. You can't do that. This is a mountain. You know, you just say, shut up. Get behind me. I speak to the, I'm just going to speak to you, and I'm going to believe what God says more than I'm going to believe what my doubt and what my experience said and whatever. I'm just going to believe and speak in the Spirit to this thing.
That's right. And that's what you believe. That's our last thing, is to believe. Believe in you, that those things which he had said shall come to pass. And once you get all that doubt, you kind of recognize that doubt, then it's easy to believe. It's easy to believe when it's just looking at the Father and you see how big he is. God is so much bigger than your mountain. He's so much bigger than my mountain. Mm-hmm. So
it says hold fast. The last scripture is hold in Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Without wavering, for he is faithful for what he has promised.
Amen.
And what we like to tell is the kids, amen. And then they say, let it be done.
You know, try it.
But it's,
we'll say amen. You yell, let it be done. Okay. All right. Amen.
Let it be done.
Yeah. Well, in the Greek, it says it is and it shall be. You know, guess what? You might, the fig tree didn't just wither right there in front of them. You know, when they walked past, they said that, oh, wow, look, the fig tree withered, man. But it is and it shall be. What a declaration the church has had through the centuries to say amen. It's not a period at the end of the sentence, or this is not where just something where we just stop. This was an amazing thing. Our prayer is and it shall be done. This thing's going to be done. And that was the proclamation after every prayer. The thing's going to be done. It's going to be done. It's going to be done. We might not see it this minute, but we're going to see the thing done. We call the thing that's not as though it is.
Yeah. So I want you to take that slip of paper, that mountain, and anybody that wants to come on up here, and we're going to make a declaration together to move these mountains. So bring your paper and come on up if you want.
And maybe like a Jericho, you know, they all went and the wall went down, you know. Maybe you need some help with your mountain or whatever.
Some encouragement with your mountain. And there will be prayer after this. But if you've got a mountain that you want to just declare it done, bring it on up here. We're not going to look at your mountain, so.
Yeah, you can just put a symbol or whatever.
Yeah. No one's
but you, everybody
it.
Knows what them mountains
but
are if they got some.
You can put it up
some.
On here or bring it up to the mountain.
And okay. There is no mountain big enough or high enough that God just can't remove from that.
Yeah, line up. Now, the first thing I like to do is, I am just, the more I get filled with the Holy Spirit, the more I realize what a worm I am in the natural. You know what I mean? I'm just like, I cannot do anything in my natural. I am fearful and shy and timid. But when I get the Holy Spirit on me, I'm a different person. So I believe right now, let's take and say, Holy Spirit, fill us.
Yes,
and take a moment to start feeling that presence coming on. I want it to rise up in your spirit.
And we're all whosoever's, and we all know what's our whatsoever, so everybody's going to say to their whosoever is going to say to your whatsoever, you get out of here,
that's
you
right.
Move, and you move, and I don't care what the past was, you're going to move, hallelujah. You whatsoever.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Are you starting to fill up? Put your hand on the person next to you and spread a little anointing to the next person.
Hallelujah.
It flows that way.
Hallelujah.
So we're all going to get full.
Mm-hmm. And we want to declare now that mountains that haven't been removed in the past, mountains that have been there that look like they're forever mountains, that they are gone. There you go and be cast into the sea. You go and be cast into the sea. These mountains that are represented here now, that are in there, we speak to them and we say go. We say go and be cast into the sea. And in their place, good things come. In their place, great things come.
Thank you.
All right.
Hallelujah.
All together, we're going to say, move, mountain, move.
Move.
Ready?
Move,
mountain,
and be cast into
move.
The sea.
Move, mountain, move. Move, mountain, move.
Be cast
now,
into the sea.
Start declaring. You know, it's going to be a bunch of jumbled voices, and no one's going to hear you because they're jumbling their voices. But I want you to start declaring the opposite of your mountain. I am going to see health in my body, or I am going to see my family come home. I am going to start declaring, I am not going to be a fearful person. I am going to be a bold, strong powerhouse. Okay,
Amen.
Start saying it out loud.
Yes.
Come on, be bold.
Yes.
This is just our family. Shout it out. I'm going to be strong.
Yes.
I'm going to be healthy.
Yes.
I'm going to
live. All you have to do is speak to it, too. That's all you have to do is speak to it.
My family's going to love me.
Good.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. It is and it shall be. It is and it shall be. Whatever the mountains are. Amen.
All right.
Thank you
so much.
There's prayer up here for anyone later.
If you want more prayer for that mountain, just to stay up here and we've got people to pray for you. Or any other thing, any other problem or anything you want, just you can stay here.
And we can rejoice and have a potluck meal too as a family here too. That would be great.
On the other end, and you can stay and get prayer or get filled, huh?
Now back to you, Dave, if you're here.